Hello, my meditators in training. Welcome to the first module. This is part one, week one of you beginning your journey into learning more about meditation for your own personal practice, and in addition, bringing it out to the world, whether that be the members in your family, the people in your classroom, in your office, in your yoga studio, wherever it may be. There is always the need for calm. There's always the need to de-stress. There's always the necessity for a little bit more peace, a little bit more of a reframe, a little bit more permission to say, I can get out of my thoughts today. I can see things differently. I can give myself the ability to take whatever is heavy and shift it and transform it into something that feels more manageable, that feels more light. The nature of this training, again, is to help you with your own practice and to help you teach others. And more than anything, and this is definitely something we're covering in this video today, is about releasing the myths and the misconceptions and kind of all the things that are giving meditation a bad rap, because we don't want any of that, right? No bad juju when it comes to the meditation cushion, right? So this video will be covering my thoughts on what is known as the Aquarian Age. We'll be talking a little bit about what meditation is and its essence, the science behind it, the myths that we talked about, as well as the different elements that are incorporated with meditation. So these are all things that you will be incorporating and infusing as a teacher, and again, in your own personal practice. So begin. Let's meditate. Trusting that you're watching this in a comfortable space, you have a notebook with you, you have everything you need to really sink into this. You may be listening to this via audio, and if so, that's fantastic. Hopefully you can sit and take a moment to meditate. If not, fast forward through this or just kind of listen mindfully, listen from the sense of a teacher, right? You can also use these to sink in and meditate with me, but you can also watch me too and notice what I do or take down some of my words or my language. In further modules, we'll be going deeper into holding space for others, vocabulary, how to really guide a meditation. However, in the meantime, know that at any point, you're welcome to lean back and say, "Ooh, I think I just want to watch Danielle," or "I think I just want to listen with my journal and just kind of take notes in what she's saying." Okay, so you're welcome to do that too. But if you're in the space of learning, let's sink in, let's meditate. So go ahead, quiet your space, and relax into your chair, putting both feet on the floor, or maybe you're sitting cross-legged, whatever feels like a relaxed, comfortable pose for you. And then you're gonna take your hands and place them either palms up on top of your lap or your knees. Palms up means I want to receive. I want something to come in. Palms down is more grounding. I need to ground down. I need to feel support. I need to feel a sense of body alignment, connection. Okay, so pick which hand pose you'd like to use, and then place them on your lap, on your thighs, on your knees. And then let's roll our shoulders back a couple times. And we're doing this just to loosen up any tension, any tightness, to make sure that when we're in our meditative pose, we're not shrugging or hunching over. Many times people will start a meditation and they're leaned forward and they don't even know it, or they're shrugged up and they don't even realize it. So why we want to do this is to, of course, loosen up tension and to also relax our posture a little bit more. And then roll the shoulders back. And what we're doing when we roll the shoulders back, we're kind of making our hip bones come forward, and we're softening our heart and our chest area, which is then kind of opening ourselves up to the room and kind of dropping anything that's heavy behind us. And then we'll begin by closing the eyes. So eyes are closed. We're just bringing our gaze upwards. If that feels good for you, always doing what feels good for you, not feeling like there's a certain way that you have to, but only a way that you want to. And so if you want to, bring your eyes upwards, locking them right in between the eyebrows. This space is known as our third eye chakra. It's known for holding our dreams, It's known for allowing us to see our visions in the full picture capacity. And when we sit with our gaze upwards, looking at this third eye space, we realize that we can use it as a projector. And this projector can look out into our world and start to take these visions and make them come to form, allow them to be a tangible part of our reality. Starting to deepen the breath, drawing in through the nose, and just letting the air move through your body as you need it to, taking your time, recognizing that this is not a place to rush, this isn't a race. And then when it feels like it's time, exhale out through the mouth, long and deep. Maybe even letting out a sigh if that feels good to you. And then just repeat this cycle of breath, drawing in through the nose, taking your time, noticing how it fills your body, how it may expand and open with the breath. And then when you feel called, let all the breath come out through the mouth, taking with it any burden, any stress, any thoughts that are heavy on your mind. And just keep breathing in and exhaling out. And as you continue with this cycle of breath, as you allow it to move in and out of your body, we set the container for this lesson, for our training, for our personal studies, and our desire to teach, to share this practice with others. Bringing in a sense of gratitude for this breath. For the breath is the reason for all of this. This would not be made possible if not for the breath. So giving yourself a little bit of thankfulness for your body, for your lungs, for your ability to breathe in and out, and have this amazing resource that is available to you at any time. And as you continue to breathe in and out, bringing in that sense of gratitude for your breath, allow yourself to start to go to that space of why you decided to do this, why this feels really good, really right here and now. And maybe you're not sure yet. Maybe you're still curious. Maybe you're still open to see how it all unfolds. Whatever it may be, allow your focus to go to this feeling of a new beginning, of taking on something that lights you up, of trusting that you'll move forward with this at your own pace, in a way that feels good to you, that you will stay in your commitments, that you will stay in the energy of what this training provides, that you will trust in the momentum of the investments that you made, and further, get to see it as an outward play in the world, as an outward manifestation. How would you like to see this as an outward manifestation? How will you look? How may you feel? Whose lives may you touch? Because of your willingness sign up for this. Let yourself go to that place. Still breathing in and letting go and letting the possibilities of where your own self will go and where the teacher in you will go unfold. Bringing in the energy of trust that you are ready now. You are the expert today. There is no more when I do this, then I can start. You are starting now. You are committing today. You are saying yes to these possibilities. You are saying yes to your potential. You are saying yes to your everything. You are saying yes to more, to what your heart wants. To leading with joy, sharing what you know, because you know a lot, of letting people learn from you. Of letting you learn from yourself. These are all the things that are currently happening and transforming and up-leveling for you. Allow yourself to feel it, allow yourself to receive it, and allow yourself to know it is true. This is real. This is now. And bringing yourself back to the present moment, back to your room, back to your body, and preparing yourself for the current lessons, teachings that you're about to take in. Looking to what you learn with a sense of curiosity, taking what resonates with you, and leaving what doesn't, trusting the pace and the materials that are coming to you for a reason right now. It all goes hand in hand with your possibilities. Breathe in, really deeply breathe in through the nostrils and hold the breath, hold the energy in your heart. Hold it. Exhale it out through the mouth. One more time. Deep inhale in through the nose, holding it in your heart. Feel the energy shifting and stretching out horizontally. And now release out through the mouth. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back to this video. Oh, hello, friend. Welcome back. So that meditation is one I do a lot to start a workshop, or I may do an abbreviated version with a client when I am doing a meditation on a live. This is kind of the theme of what I do. And again, we're going to go more into the actual teaching of the meditation in a later module, but kind of look to what I just did, not just for your own, like, yay, that was fun, but also like, what was she doing there? Right? Like, I kind of want you to start to notice my patterns before I tell you, and kind of notice if there were certain things that I said that maybe resonated with you in a different way. Like, oh, I could tell someone to do something like that. Right? This is a kind of about just starting to be really curious about what I'm putting out. And then when I start to share, like, oh, this is actually what's happening behind the scenes, you're like, I thought that's what you were doing. Right? So the song that I use was called Prize Winning. It's by Juliana Barwick. I'll post it to the Facebook group. I love her. Again, Juliana Barwick. And you're going to get playlists that I curate for the course as well. And she will definitely be on a lot of them. She has a very whimsical, just really beautiful harmonizing tone. And I love to use them for meditations where I may be speaking a lot, where there's a lot of guidance. I may use songs with more words for ones where I'm going to lean back a little bit, and I'll let the words of the song speak to the students at hand. But for the sake of what we were doing, I didn't want there to be words. I wanted my words, and I wanted your own ability to tap into your inner guidance to be the words that were coming through for you. So Juliana Barwick, so good. I love her. I found her a couple of years ago through a friend, and I haven't looked back. Okay, I'm going to pull up the notes for part one of week one. And one of the teachings that I really wanted us to start with, because my background has a lot to do with Kundalini yoga, also Buddhist meditation as well. Those are probably the two biggest meditation influences in my life. And what I will say is what I love about Kundalini yoga is that it incorporates the Aquarian age. It's also known as the Golden Age. It's also known as the New Age. And it's very important that we understand this if we are going to be teaching meditation of any kind to anyone, and also for our own self. So the Aquarian age, you know, it's called the New Age. So back in the 70s, right, there was this movement, a New Age movement. And the New Age movement came from a bunch of people that were starting to become aware that in the 2000s, there was going to be a shift in the ages. No longer were we going to be in the age of Pisces, which started around the time of Jesus. We were going to shift into the next sign, which is actually a reversal, and it's the Aquarian age. And so to prepare ourselves for the Aquarian age, these new agers, right, they had to help us get into the new age, they kind of stepped up to start to teach more mindfulness, teach the art of knowing oneself, teach standing up for what you believe in, teach your own internal guidance, teach that you don't have to buy into what everybody says. Basically, their role was to help us remove old stories and programming that came to be because of the Piscean age. The Piscean age is about the teacher is outside of you. If you need an answer, find it out here. If you need a resource, find it out here. If you need a mentor, find it out here. If you need to be told what to do, find it out here. If you need next steps, find it out here, right? Everything was out here. And that kicked off with Jesus because, you know, if we look to the lineage of Jesus, the story, or however you want to look at it, he came to be because things were really chaotic and people needed to kind of rally. People needed some structure. People needed to be told what to do, and they weren't receiving that. So Jesus coming through was a mentor, was a teacher, was a heart opener in a lot of ways, which was great, but then it kind of got out of hand. Just like the age of Aquarian will get out of hand, and eventually there will be people, it won't be in our current lifetime, which kind of makes me sad, but hopefully by the end of 2000 years from now, when we start to near the end of the age of Aquarian, there'll be a lot of things that got wonky, and there'll be too much of what the age of Aquarian dictates, and people will be getting ready for the age of Capricorn, right? And they'll be preparing us for that and what that entails, which we're not going to get into the age of Capricorn since it's, you know, almost 2000 years from now. So we're not going to worry about that. But the age of Aquarian, okay? So it is about the teacher is within you. You know best. If you need guidance, find it. If you need within, if you need answers, find it within. If you need to know what to do, find it within, which sounds great. Like, oh, good. Like, I don't have to seek anyone outside of me. The thing is, because of old programming, because of the way we were raised, because of our society, we don't know how. We don't know how to go within. We don't know how to find our own teacher. We don't know how to find our own guru, right? Because we're so used to go to the source, right? Outside of us and not go to the source within. And so that's why meditation, that's why Kundalini yoga, that's why the different elements of meditation that we'll be discussing in this material, in this training, are all about helping us not only access our inner teacher, but actually how, right? Because that's the biggest disconnect. You know, a lot of people could say like, oh, that's great in theory, the teacher is within, but like, I don't know how to access it. I have no confidence at all. I don't believe in myself. And I feel like at the end of the day, I'd rather just do what other people tell me to do. But like deep down, that's not really what people want. So because of the changing times, and we were born in most, I think pretty much everyone that's listening, unless you're 7 years old, you were born into the age of Pisces. And so because of that, no matter what, we will always have a little bit of that programming in us. It's never going to completely go away unless we completely ascend and up level to a whole nother realm. For the most part, we will always have a little bit of that lingering essence of age of Pisces. And so I think as we get older, it will get stronger and we'll pull away from it as more generations, as morbid as it sounds, start to leave us or die off, so to speak, then we will start to embrace more and more of the age of Aquarius. So the age of Aquarius is part of why we have the rise of technology, having better access to finding tools and resources to help us go within. It's also kind of been created for us to be more of an entrepreneur, that we're in a time now where we haven't been in a very long time, where we can start to say, oh, this is what I want to do for my career. This is how I want to make money. This is how I want to be creative. This is how I want to express my art, right? Self-expression is more received than ever before. And part of that is because of technology. Part of that is because of communities that are really being built and more widespread than ever before that are really supporting this. Okay. So that's a kind of a benefit of the age of Aquarian is, you know, the technology, the communities, the ability that all of us, we're able to connect together from all different parts of the world, right? We're international with this course. So, you know, we wouldn't be able to do that, 100 years ago, you know, like we would just have to, you know, divine meet. And I don't know if I would have done this training on the Oregon Trail, like might not have been inspired to me. I might've just been, you know, hoping that I didn't get diphtheria and, you know, what I was going to spend at the little shop. Right. So we have ways to get this message out like never before because of technology. And that's because of the Aquarian age. And really disrupting the patriarchy. That's a big piece of it too. So it's really important to understand this age that we're in, because if you're going to be growing your own meditation practice, and if you're going to be teaching it to others, we want to kind of share that. Now, if the Aquarian age sounds too woo-woo or new age seems too out there, you can call it the golden age. I also call it the age of you. We're in times now where it's about finding that inner you more than ever, okay? And so in your workbook, I share a little bit about how you can incorporate yourself and what the benefits would be. All right, so what is meditation? It's a loaded question, but at the same time, it's not at all. Meditation in its essence is awareness of the self. It's being curious. It's going within. It's quite simple. Meditation is a practice of going within. Meditation is a practice of being aware. I could say I'm meditating right now from the space that I am talking to you, that I am connecting to a camera, and this camera is on me and giving me permission to share what I know with you. That could be a meditation in a way, because that is having an awareness of my body, of my voice, of my technology, of my room, of my surroundings. That's a meditation in essence, right? Now, what we want to look at when we really look at meditation, though, again, is that we're looking at it from a space of its awareness, its connection, and it's an opportunity to go within and not have to worry about anything or anyone else but the current moment or the current task at hand, right? Not all meditations are just breathing in and out. There may be a mudra meditation where you're using a certain mudra, so you need to focus on the mudra. You may be chanting a mantra, so you're focusing on the mantra. You may be gazing at a candle, and so you're looking at the flame, right? So there's an intention around the meditation, and that's where your awareness is, right? Your awareness may just be on the breath. Your awareness may be walking along a lake during the sunset. And that's a meditation, because you're having an experience where you're allowing yourself to really just be with some simple elements, okay? Meditation is simple. Meditation is when we're able to clear the distractions and just be present with ourselves and maybe an experience at hand if it's walking on us during the sunset. But it's not walking during the sunset while holding our phone and taking pictures for Instagram. Right? That's not a walking meditation. That's you being an Instagram influencer. Okay? There's a difference. So kind of giving yourself the space to go within and learn how to be okay with just what is. Learning how to go within and not bring in judgment. Okay? Meditation is not about judgment. Even if you're having a bad day, even if you're having a headache, right? You could be experiencing chronic pain and you may go to your meditation and you may be feeling that pain. That doesn't mean that you judge the pain. It's that you notice the pain, that you assess the pain. Right now, my body is feeling pain here. Okay, right? Non-judgment. Right now, my mind is racing a mile a minute. Okay, no judgment. It's just observation. And when we look at it from a space of observation, then it's easier to start to shift things. We can say, okay, I'm sitting in my meditation. I'm noticing my mind is going crazy. I'm noticing that I'm still thinking about this thing that happened at work today that really irked me. I'm noticing that I'm having some lower back pain. Okay, I'm noticing all of this. And in this noticing, what do I want to work on first? Okay, let's maybe adjust the lower back pain. Maybe I need to position my pillow a little bit differently so I'm a little bit more comfortable. Let me start to think about the fact that my mind is going a million miles a minute and I'm thinking about this situation at work. All right, well, let me set the goal here that I'm going to release these thoughts that are going a mile a minute. And I'm going to do that by giving myself permission to be in a different observance of what would the observance be like if I was just breathing in and out instead of thinking all these thoughts. What if I turn the situation? And then further, I'm going to ask that during my meditation, I bring some love and understanding into that situation at work. And then that changes the whole dynamic. So you're taking what you observed, and then you're saying, how can I flip the switch on this? Let me make my body more comfortable. Let me switch the focus to focusing on my breath. Let me take that situation from work and set an intention to send love and gratitude to it. And observe how you do. You may not be able to do it. You may still have that back pain the whole time. You may be thinking the entire time. You may not be able to bring love to that situation. That's okay, because it's just observation. It's observation, it's trial, implementation, and then assessing, okay? So, that we really wanna release this notion that meditation has to be perfect, or it has to be just right, or if we didn't work on the breath the entire time, we did it wrong. No, you didn't do it wrong at all. If anything, I applaud the person that sat down and tried to work with those things we just talked about, and they couldn't quite get there. But you know what? They tried. They set an intention. And that is beautiful. That is a practice, okay? Meditation is a muscle. Meditation is a practice. It is not a perfect. And you will never be perfect in meditation. It just doesn't happen. But you can be aware. You can be observant. You can do your best to show up for the experience and really try to morph it in the best way possible, but giving a sense of understanding if you don't. That's why, again, having a meditation log is so important. And that's why for this first week, the first 5 days of your training, I didn't want to give you a meditation. I wanted to see what you showed up for. I wanted to see what came to you. I wanted to see what sitting in your cushion felt like, setting your own time limit, setting your own personal practice, and then commenting how you felt. Because then when we start to implement the ones that I instruct to you, I want you to notice that there's a difference. If they're better, they're worse, they're neutral. Right? Meditation is really just about kind of finding that space of neutrality. And some days you're going to be really neutral. Other days you're not going to be, you're going to be really up there and out there. And then other days you're going to be kind of wah, wah, wah. And that is okay. That's the essence of meditation. All right. So then we have the science behind it. I'm going to let you read that stuff. We know science is good. And then we have the four main elements. So there are a ton of meditations out there now. Like I said, there's walking meditation, there's Shavasana meditation, there's so many ways that you could call something a meditation. But in essence, there are four elements to meditation. There's the present moment, there's calm and focus, there's energy and vitality, and there's trance. Okay, so present moment, calm, focus, energy and vitality, and trance. And those are the four main components. And every meditation that you do from some capacity will have one of those four elements. They may have more than one, but they will always will have one piece of that. And feel free to challenge me if you think there's another one out there that we didn't hit. So present moment meditation is very much tied to the traditional mindfulness, which is very interesting. Deepak Chopra, I was watching a documentary Heal, which I very much recommend. And he was like, it's interesting we call it mindful because that's actually not the point. We want to be mindless. And for some reason, our society being mindless is scary. Why? Because when we become mindless, we are taking back our power. By becoming mindless, we are taking back our power. By becoming mindless, we are saying, I'm not going to be full of what you're projecting at me. So I don't want to be mindful because being mindful means that I'm doing, you know, what you're telling me to do. I'm adapting to your society, to your beliefs, but by being mindless, I'm giving that away and I'm owning up to my own power. I'm freeing and aligning into my own self, which is very good. So present moment essentially is about what we were talking about with like the thoughts, right? Present moment means sitting as you are, who you are, giving yourself permission to breathe in through the nose and then breathe out through the nose. Giving yourself permission to notice when a thought comes through your mind to be like, oh, that was a thought. This isn't really the time to think that thought. So I'm just going to keep it floating back. And then if it comes back in, I'd be like, oh, you, oh, thought. And just drift it back again. I kind of have a little party that goes on over here. And I'm like, you can go to the thinking party. It's really fun. I think they're having a rave today. There's like a new DJ, super jealous. But in the meantime, I'm going to be here chilling with myself. Giving myself a chance to just be. This is how we become a better ally to our own selves. This is how we can start to feel our body better. It can help with things like body dysmorphia. It can help us feel more connected to who we are. It can give us a sense of confidence and knowing. So all these things create a really powerful awareness that then bleeds into our outer life. So giving ourselves permission to just breathe, be, you know, in this space of allowing thoughts to come through as they need to be and just giving ourselves permission to have some space. We're not claiming space for ourselves anymore because of technology. We're always reaching, right? We're always reaching for our phone. We're in line at the grocery store. What do? We reach for our phone. We're at a stoplight. We reach for our phone. We've got to kind of be in a space where we are staking our claim on space. I'm staking my claim on space today. And maybe it's only 5 minutes, but this is my space where I'm going to claim it just for me. And I'm going to do my best to just be present, be with what it is. But if it doesn't work out, that's okay too, because I still, no matter what, claimed my space. There's no right or wrong in all of this. So then we have calm or focus. So calm focus meditation is when we're kind of directing on one thing. So it's not just about sitting as you are, who you are, but it's sitting with an intention. It could be literally your eyes are gazed downwards and you're staring at a spot on the floor. And you stare at that spot on the floor and you breathe in and out for 5 minutes. That's how I actually first learned meditation, was the spot floor technique. And I would just find a spot on the floor and I would just breathe in and out. And I would do it for like 20 minutes. And then eventually I'd start to raise my gaze. And eventually I started to learn how to actually be able to look out at the world and just gaze out on the world and breathe. And it really helped my focus. It's not one I love to do anymore. And it's definitely not one you want to do in public at a park because you might freak people out. But it's definitely one to help you center and get focused and really see how well you can really pinpoint an idea. It can be a really great way for you to see like how you drift in and out, what your focus is like. If you're curious about your attention span, do the spot on the floor meditation and see how long you can go for. Or maybe just start with 3 minutes and see how you did instead of saying like, I'm going to see how long I go for, because then you might get in your head and you might be curious about time and you're thinking about how long you can go, as opposed to being like, all right, I'm just going to do 3 minutes. And then when the 3 minutes is up, I can say like, oh, could I have gone longer? Yes. Okay. I'm either going to go back and do it again, or tomorrow I'm going to go for 5 minutes. You can do a candle. You can literally, you could set a crystal. What else do I recommend for the focus one? You can also, you can listen to a song and just be in the song. You know, those moments where you're just like in the music and you're able to just really focus on the music and nothing else. You can use a mala or a rosary bead and have a physical focus that you're doing. So every bead, you're saying a prayer or you're saying a mantra. Those are all calm focus. Then we have energy meditation. So we can use energy to amp us up, right? You might be getting to that mid-afternoon slump where you feel like you want to reach for another cup of coffee. You don't have to. You don't have to put that back into your system. I love coffee, but I really don't love to have to bring it into my life, you know, when we're already reaching, you know, the second half of the day. So what you can do is you can use certain breath work to stimulate your mind and get yourself kind of going again and bringing some good, healthy breath back in. Part of why we get tired, part of why we hit that afternoon slump is because we likely have lost sight of our breath, right? Even if we meditated that morning, a lot of hours have gone by and we're probably not breathing correctly anymore. We're probably slunched down a little bit. Maybe we ate things at lunch that made us a little bit sluggish. Maybe we got some news that we weren't super crazy about. Maybe there's a lot on our plate. So we lose all that healthy breath that we brought into our body when we started the day. So we want to reactivate it. And by doing breath work, we're reactivating our breath. We're bringing some fresh air back into our body. We're stimulating our nervous system in a way that's positive. One way you can do that is breath of fire, which is breathing equally in and out through the nose. Breath of fire is a great way to get the fire up in your being. Another one is alternate nostril breathing, where you're breathing one through one nostril and then you switch and you breathe out the other one. Again, we'll learn all of these, but by working with the breath, we're changing the dynamic of how we're going to approach the rest of our day. And we're kind of just bringing in a little bit of a refresh, a reset. And normally with the energy meditations, you're not doing them for too long, especially like breath of fire. If you're new, you don't want to do that for too long a time because then you're going to overwork yourself and you're going to tax your system. And then you're really not going to be able to hit the rest of your day. So you want to find that happy medium of getting that nice little boost and then go about your day. And then the fourth element is trance. So trance is almost like a hypnosis state. It's a very deep form of meditation that weaves in relaxation. So when we go into a trance meditation, we're not asleep. You can fall asleep. It happens a lot. But when we're in a trance deep meditation, essentially what's happening is that we are in a space where we're letting go of our surface level thoughts. We're letting go of even being aware of the present moment. We're letting go of our calm and focus. Letting go of our energy, and we're allowing ourselves to drop into something deeper. We're allowing ourselves to kind of lift our conscious reality and go into a deeper subconscious reality. And that can be for relaxation, that can help heal pain. It can also give you the capacity to talk to your internal self a little bit deeper. It can also give you the ability to go to other realms, to go to higher dimensions, to go to your higher self. For anyone that's done trance with me, you know I love to take you on a journey. You know that I can get you zonked out and up somewhere else that you've probably never been before, or you haven't been in a very long time. And that's part of the trans astral journey, which we will be learning, which I'm very excited about. I recommend that you experiment with this in guided meditations than trying to do it yourself, because the thinking mind may intervene too much and may get in the way. One thing with trance, I think sometimes people think like, oh, was that just my imagination? Or like, I think I was kind of awake during it. Did it really count? And the answer is yes. If it was your imagination, it's real. Even if you were somewhat thinking about things during it, it's still a part of it. Okay. So again, no matter what, there's no right or wrong way to do this. It's all about awareness. So that's a big piece too. And okay. So now, you know, I list a bunch of other different meditations that are out there. In module 2, we'll be breaking all of these down. Yeah, that's right. You're going to get your meditation and then some. Walking, running meditation, Kundalini, Zen, intuitive eating is a meditation. Prayer is a meditation, guided meditation, Sufi meditations, Qigong, Tantra meditation, emptiness meditation, where you just empty everything out, visualization, meditating with your partner. These are all, you know, channeling, connecting to your guides. These are all beautiful forms of meditation that I would love. If any stand out to you, like intuitively and be like, oh, I actually do that. Or that one sounds really cool. Go to the Google. Look it up. See how maybe you want to use that for your meditation log, okay? Again, that's why these first, you know, few days are about freedom. Freedom to explore, freedom to use your own intuition, because again, this is about me being the teacher of this course, but it's teaching you to be a teacher. And what did I say? We're in the Aquarian age. You know best. You do what you need to do. All right. And then lastly, let's talk a little bit about this notion of people that come at it that have these limiting beliefs around meditation, or they have doubts. They're kind of like skeptical about it, right? I was thinking septic, not septic. They could be septic, septic tank mentality. But maybe they're coming at it and they're just kind of like, that won't work for me. So there might be the people that are the doubters and just be like, not for me. Then there might be the people that are just like, whatever, like you do you. And then there also may be the people that are really curious, but they're a little bit scared, or they're not sure, or they don't believe in their ability to do it. Okay. So I find that I get two. I get either the people that doubt the process or are actually scared of their own ability to actually be in the process. They're not giving themselves full permission out of, you know, some of their own limiting beliefs, but they're curious and they want to do it. And remember that no matter what, you can't force someone to meditate. If someone's not ready, don't make them. Don't, you know, sit your husband or your partner down and be like, I'm going to teach you to meditate because it's good for you, and you need it, and you're too stressed out, and you know, you always ask what I'm doing, you know, in the morning. Well, you have to do it with me. No. If they ask you and say, hey, I notice that every morning you do your meditations, can you show me how, or can we do one together? Then you're like, yes, it's working. And then you do it. Okay. But usually it's you lead by example. You do you. You've got nothing to prove when it comes to what you feel about meditation and what your personal practice is, and even your teaching practice. Okay. You want to remember all of that. And by being in that space, people will naturally find you and they'll come to you. And the people that first were kind of like, I don't know about that, are going to be like, can you tell me more? That'd be great. Yogi Bhajan says, be the lighthouse, right? Let people come to you. Lighthouse can't go around to everybody, right? I would assume that a lighthouse isn't going to be knocking on my door and being like, hey, I'm the light. Want to come in? I'd be like, how did you get on 22nd Street? This is kind of weird, you know? Okay. So in your workbook, I break down some common meditation myths. And then for two of the examples, I give my like high vibe response. So basically the one example I give is someone might say, I need energy during the day. And if I meditate, it's just going to make me more tired. Well, what could a response for that be? Actually, meditation is an amazing way to pick yourself up in the afternoon by using certain breath work. The breath work will kind of reactivate your nervous system so that you actually are releasing any stress from the day and have a better performance rate. Oh, I didn't know that. Another one. I tried it once and it doesn't work for me. How many of you have heard that? I tried it. It's not for me. Well, to be honest, if you're curious, there's actually a lot of different types of meditation. And so maybe the one that you tried just wasn't a good fit for you. Or maybe you just want to be aware of the fact that it takes a little bit of time. Meditation is like a muscle. It is a practice. And so the more that you show up for it, the more you can understand how it will work best for you. So I always advise people to give it a little bit more of a go before they decide if it's for them or not. And then what you'll do is I want you to share any ones that you've heard and then respond with your high vibe response. So create your own statements of myths that you have heard. Respond with your high vibe one. And then I give a bunch more that people will say that I want you to give your high vibe response for. And then go to the Facebook group and share one of your, I'll put a post, you'll share one of your myths that you've heard and then what your high vibe response is. Because I would love to hear from your words what you would say to someone. And it's really fun when you start to actually get into the flow of it and when you start to kind of back down from being like, oh my God, like what, you know, like they don't like it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess meditation is not for you, but at least you tried. You can at least, you know, like give a more positive, more true to you response, because that way if someone comes at you and says, not for me, at least you can respond in integrity with your own self, right? As opposed to just being like, yeah, you're right. It's not for you. And you can answer in integrity and they may just still think, you know, and it's not for me. but at least you responded in a way that felt good to you. How many times have you had someone come up to you and be like, oh, isn't that kind of woo-woo? And you're like, yeah. And then you didn't feel good that you responded that way. Has that ever happened? And you're just like, yeah, you're right. It's kind of woo-woo. Yeah, I'm totally out there. Like, I know, I'm weird. And then after you're like, that didn't feel good. I didn't like saying that I was weird. I didn't like saying that I was too out there. These responses are going to help you kind of change that. So if someone says, isn't it kind of woo-woo? You can say, yeah, some people think that it's woo-woo, but for me, it's a really fun practice that helps me connect with myself so that I show up better for my work, my family. And it's just been a really great part of my practice, just like going to the gym is, and, you know, for my physical health, or just like, you know, eating well, right? Like you can, I want you to craft an answer that makes sense for you, of course, right? Like, again, I don't want you to take my answers because these are ones that I'm just kind of throwing out there. But by doing this, this is going to help you hold space for a classroom. This is going to be when you're promoting your workshop and you have people that are like, I'm kind of curious about your workshop, but I'm not sure because I just, you know, and they may, again, not be coming from a doubtful place. They might just be like, I've tried meditation before and I don't think I'm good at it. Does this make sense for me? You want to have these kind of answers on standby because you're going to hear them all the time. I get it all the time. People that are coming to me. And again, I will say more often it's they want to, but their own fears are holding them back. It's not because they're doubting it. If they're doubting it or they're skeptical, they're not going to reach out to me and be like, you know, that workshop, it's not for me. I'll be like, okay, cool, it's not for you, but have a nice day. The people that are going to reach out are going to be genuinely curious, and they just have some reservations. And so this is about you holding space for them, really listening to their question, putting your ego to the side, and answering in a way that feels really aligned. And this is going to help you be more prepared for that, okay, as you start to show up as a teacher. And in addition, start to, you know, demonstrate your skills as someone that meditates more. You know, when family asks just about your personal practice or friends or, you know, things like that, you feel more confident. Okay. Does that make sense? Can you allow yourself to be more confident in the fact that this is something you're really passionate about, that this is something that you do for your own self and as a way to help others? That's so important. And so by breaking down the misconceptions and having really beautiful high vibe responses, you're one step closer to really showing up and showcasing the confident teacher that you are. So feel free to share those in the Facebook group. I definitely would love to hear what some of the things that you get thrown and what your high vibe response is. In addition, look out for part two of this training. This is really part two of module one of this training. It is all about becoming the teacher. So we're going to talk more about this notion of what does it mean to show up confidently? What does it mean to show up and empower? What does it mean to figure out who my ideal group is to meditate with? What's my why? What kind of meditation would I want to teach? Okay, we want to really start to get deeper into what does your role look like as a teacher? And again, even if you have no feeling right now that you're going to show up as a teacher, I want you to take this part too, because it's going to help you show up a little bit differently in the world and a little bit more expansively. And it's going to make you think a little bit. So there's some really good nuggets that are coming through. For those of you that are looking to get certified, you may notice in your certification log, after every module and every call, there's an ask for a password. So at the end of part two of module one, I will be giving you a password. You will put that on your certification log, which means that you listened to this and you made it through. And I may throw it out there at a random time too, not just at the end. So you're like, oh, I'll just watch the end of the video and then say, you know, the buzzword, which was like, you know, pizza, which I wouldn't do. Even though I love pizza. It may just get thrown in randomly at part two, so you're gonna need to pay attention. And I will do the same thing for the live calls as well. There will be a password for everyone that listens. So again, I know that you were able to make it. If you couldn't be on the call live, it'll still count. You just need to listen to the recording. Okay, so I feel like that's everything. Look out for your accountability partners. You are amazing. I'm so grateful to be in this training with you. I think you're fantastic, and it is an honor for us to be doing this together. So let's just take a nice deep breath in to close. Exhale it out. And go on with our day. Sat Nam.